Welcome to Weekend Forum, a production of KIOS News. The series explores the significant topics and issues of our region with leaders, thinkers, and influencers from around Omaha and throughout Nebraska. This week, the Omaha Press Club's Noon Education Forum, recorded Thursday, March 18, 2021. This episode was produced in cooperation with the Omaha Press Club, and now, on to the presentation.
Good afternoon. I'm Angela Arendt, a member of the Omaha Press Club Education Committee. At least once a month, the Press Club sponsors a noontime forum here at the club on issues we think are of interest to our members and the public at large. Although you do not have to be a member to attend, we invite you to consider a membership. At the end of the presentation, there will be a brief question and answer period. Created in 2003, the Omaha Sports Commission is a not-for-profit organization developing and promoting Omaha as a premier sports community in the country. Notable past events have included the U.S. Olympic Trials for Swimming, NCAA Women's Volleyball Final Four, NCAA Division I and II Wrestling Championships, and U.S. Olympic Trials for Curling. This year again features several premier events, including the U.S. Senior Golf Open, which is back for a second time, NCAA Volleyball Championships, NAIA Men's and Women's Basketball Tournaments, and the U.S. Olympic Swim Trials and Curling Trials. We are pleased to have Mr. Josh Todd, President and Executive Director of the Omaha Sports Commission, join us today to provide an overview about his organization and the future sports outlook in Omaha. Josh has 15 years in the sports events and sports tourism industry and took over the helm of the Omaha Sports Commission in February 2018. Josh previously worked with the Huddle Up Group sports consulting firm, as well as Connect Meetings, where he served as the director of Connect Sports. Before that, he spent over 6 years as the director of sports in Mesa, Arizona, where he helped put Mesa on the sports map and orchestrated over $250 million in economic impact through booked sporting events in Mesa, and worked with the Chicago Cubs and Oakland A's in making Mesa one of the premier youth and amateur baseball communities. Josh's well-rounded experience includes work in collegiate athletics, parks and recreation, Disney's ESPN Wide World of Sports complex, and coaching high school football. Josh and his family live in Elkhorn, keeping busy with two daughters, Ryan, 9, and Josie, 5. Please join me in welcoming Mr. Josh.
Thank you. Thank you, Angela. I'll put my glasses on here. What's that?
Did she say you worked for Huddle Up one time?
Huddle Up Group, yeah, I did. Did some consulting work for them for a while. You familiar with it?
I'm thinking Huddle, the sports.
Oh, Huddle here in Lincoln and Omaha. No, not that group. Okay. Great company, though.
Yes.
Holy moly. Yeah, I like that. Keep the questions coming, because I don't like to kill you all by PowerPoint. I do have some PowerPoints here to kind of guide the discussion, but at any time, raise your hand, speak up. Love to have a conversation. Like Angela mentioned, I'm with the Omaha Sports Commission. Our mission is much longer than I like to rehearse, but quite simply, we enrich Omaha through sport. We pretty much rebranded to that vision when we got here about three and a half years ago. When I say enrich Omaha through sport, obviously, some of the handouts you see, the economic impact that we drive to Omaha is huge, but we have also been intentional about trying to be hyper-local and create a social impact too. Every single one of our events, swim trials, curling trials, we have a local youth sport development component to it. Swim trials, you know, we have learn to swim lessons for underserved kids. Curling trials that were here in 2017, we have purchased and owned curling kits that we've taught over 15,000 kids in the Omaha Metro how to curl in their PE curriculum. So things like that, we try to be, it's a passion of ours, not just bring this economic impact, but also the social impact that really, you know, lasts longer than the money does sometimes. These are kind of handouts I brought. I was short on handouts because we were already a quarter into our year, but we use this piece this year as a fundraising piece because last year was a little rough for our industry. And all my slides you see coming up, they don't mention COVID or pandemic on purpose, but just know that all of our events, that's in the front of our minds. Having safe events that we can have athletes, coaches, and spectators, hopefully increasing as the year goes on. But you can kind of see some of the numbers. We are a nonprofit. We were talking about Harold earlier before in our previous leadership. We've really shifted to, you know, when I got here, a lot of people thought we were this big corporation that runs sporting events. But now it's like, all right, we're a 501c3. Every dollar that's given to us, every dollar we have, revenue-wise, goes right back to what we do. Going after more sporting events, creating sporting events, enriching Omaha through sport. And you can kind of see some of the numbers since 2008, which we were founded in 2003, but we really didn't have an event until the 08 swim trials. You know, that number's actually gone up just since November. We've had three or four national profile events. We're probably about $338 million economic impact that we've created here in Omaha. Some of our events that we have financial stake with are up there. I like to separate our events that we really run are the ones up there. We have a hand in a lot of events that go on throughout Omaha. College World Series is the outlier. I tell people they've been here 70 years. We've been here 18 years. So obviously they're great partners of ours, but we do not have anything to do with the College World Series. A lot of our volunteers, our army of volunteers, help with a lot of the events in town. I'm always at the seat with bidding on events and bringing events here, just because that's what we should. We should be the resource for sport in Omaha, and that's what we've transitioned to. We've always been a one-trick pony, and that we did that very well. Bidded events like the swim trials, the NCAAs, the curling trials. Now our shift is that should be a third of what we do. Bidded events, hosted events on a national profile. We are now creating our own events because I don't know about you guys, but as a business model, you can't be sustainable on one thing like the swim trials, like the curling trials, because that's not always going to happen. So we are kind of creating our inventory, bidding on smaller events and creating some more events like I'll talk about here today. And then the other one is that local give back to sport. We took over the Omaha Sports Hall of Fame. We created an annual award ceremony for sports in Omaha. I talked about some of our local efforts with youth. You know, we're on a lot of boards. We're on the YMCA board. I'm on a few boards around town. So really, when I first got here, when I would speak at groups and nobody's heard of us, it drove me crazy. So now I think our brand is much stronger throughout Omaha. So we really kicked off the year with this event, which was last weekend. And it really got a lot of media attention, even though it's a smaller, it involved a lot of smaller colleges, not like a NCAA Division I type event, because it really was the first nationally hosted event to be here that had out-of-town spectators. Great turnout. You know, obviously we were limited with capacity, only about 20% capacity from the NAI, which if you guys don't know what the NAI is, they're like the NCAA, but smaller schools, a lot of private institutions. It's about 300 member schools, so it's been a goal of ours to go after some of their events because we've never bid on their events, and there's a lot of schools that travel, especially in the central region of the United States. So we hosted the men's and women's basketball opening rounds. Actually, today they start the finals in Kansas City for men and Sioux City for women. We sold about 1,500 tickets over the 8 games. The interesting thing too was we had about a thousand live streaming purchases, which this right here is not good revenue. This was a nice surprise revenue with $15 a day people paying to live stream those. We had, like I said, we had 12 schools, one local school, which was Bellevue University. They bowed out in the first round, but four of these schools actually advanced out of Omaha region to go to the national finals, competing this week for national championships.
They bowed out?
Bowed out valiantly. They lost to Jamestown University, North Dakota. Really good basketball too. I know the NAI doesn't get as much love as they should get, but you know, other than height and some bulk, these guys and ladies are very good players. So we've got this event for 4 years, and like I said, it's our goal to go after more of these NAI national events because they just work well here.
Where did they play that tournament?
It was at Sokol Arena. Yep, great little venue on Creighton's campus. Seats about 3,000. We had it reduced to about a 2,400 capacity. But the NAI dictates, just like the NCAA, just like USA Swimming, these governing bodies dictate your attendance, which makes planning events a little easier, but a little trickier to make money. You all probably know about this one coming up. Similar to the basketball tournament that's all in Indianapolis for men and all in San Antonio for women, Omaha was awarded the entire volleyball tournament. We were the host of the Final Four. So I think really just made it easier for everybody because we were open to grant Omaha the entire tournament. So this kicks off April 13th. Final Four will be April 22nd through the 24th. At CHI Health Center, the entire event will be there in the Convention Center side and the arena. really cool bubble format. Still working out details there, but 25% capacity is what the NCAA has mandated for all their national tournaments. I'm sure you all are wondering about the College World Series. I think Roger and Tom at Mecca are still trying to argue to get that lifted a little bit from 25% since we're outdoors.
So were there other locations that bid against you guys to bring this here, or how did that work?
Oh yeah, there was. There definitely was. So the NCAA is known for, they bid out their events years in advance. To give you an idea, we just submitted all bids for 23 through 27 last year. So when these spring events came up, because they lost all their fall 2020 championships and winter 2020 championships, the NCAA was bidding several events in about a three-month window. So the cities and states that are more open, I should say that Omaha and Nebraska were a little more open than most states. Right or wrong, you know, we're trying to take advantage of that and help lead the economic comeback through sports, because we can host more events here than most states, which is a good thing. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about mainstream TV, some of the opening rounds, but yeah, this is a big time. Might have to dig down into your cable package to find them, but a Big Ten network, obviously, if there's Big Ten teams in. Dream scenario, if Nebraska and Creighton can both make it Final Four, I think that would be unbelievable. Yes, sir?
Could that capacity change between now and...
Nope. This capacity won't. The NCAA has already said 25% for the rest of the year for their championships. We're lobbying. Like I said, I'm not lobbying, but for CWS to try to get that higher because of the outdoor nature of the event. And Nebraska's opening standards are a little different than most states. But yeah, so this was a huge win. I'm biased, but it was like, okay, you gave the basketball to Indiana, the women's basketball to San Antonio. We already have the Final Four. So that's how simple our bid was. Obviously, a lot of logistics go on with the testing, court space, hotels, all that fun stuff. But great event for Omaha. It's even that number is not too shabby in the middle of a pandemic still. Talked about some of the owned and created events that the Sports Commission has shifted to. This is one of them. The Valley One Marathon, ONE, the one is Omaha, Nebraska. This race is entirely run in Valley out there in the countryside. Beautiful course, beautiful race. I was talking to a gentleman earlier. He was signed up to run this event last year. It used to be called the Seven Lakes Marathon. We took it over and merged with the race director out there to rebrand it, make this a national elite type race, and it's already happening in year one. We've already got dozens of pros signed up. One thing that was huge for technically a first year race, they tried to run this in 19, entire course flooded. 20, pandemic. So we're hoping we've got all those 500 year emergencies out of the way. We get calls daily about, I want to sign up, but I'm sure you guys are going to cancel. It's like, we are not canceling. This is not a cancel event. One cool thing that we got for a first-year marathon, the Paralympic marathon trials for Tokyo was supposed to be in Boston at the Boston Marathon. That postponed to the fall because of our relationships with the USOPC, U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee, and because of the trials we run here, they gave us this event sight unseen. So no pressure. We'll have about 40 or 50 elite athletes, not just from the Paralympic side, but what's happening with 2020 and the cancellation of so many events, a lot of athletes haven't competed. They haven't had a chance to run against other people. They haven't had a chance to wrestle other people in any sport. So if there's an event going on, people are going to sign up. These guys and ladies need to get their qualifying times for Boston for the Olympics. So we have one of the only races going on this spring, this summer, and we have the certified third flattest course in the world, which is very attractive to some of these elite runners. It's not just for elite runners, it's open for local Nebraska residents as well. As long as you can run a 5-hour marathon is our cutoff. I think a lot of people could do that walking, but a really cool event. We capped it at 500 this year, just so we can make sure we stagger the starts and space everybody out properly for COVID. Ton of potential to grow in the future because we have a great team. I should have mentioned our team at the Sports Commission. Lindsay Toussaint, who's our director of events, Roger, you know Lindsay very well. She used to work at USA Track and Field, and she is one of the best event and race directors in the country. I'll say she's the best in the country from a sports commission side, so we definitely utilize her talents to run some pretty amazing events. And Emily Winkler, she is our event coordinator, and we survive on a team of interns and three and a half full-timers. So I mentioned earlier, we're not as big as people think we are. We've got a great board. We got a small but mighty staff and an army of volunteers that pull off these events. Sponsorships, volunteers, always needed. If you guys have any interest or know any companies that are interested in getting involved in sports, we can activate sponsorships really well with a lot of freedom, especially some of our events that we own. Women with Drive, another owned product that we created a couple summers ago. So this is basically, I don't know a lot about this because I'm not allowed in the meetings, but this is Lindsay and Emily's and a couple of our board members' brainchild. And it sold out the last couple summers. It's basically a program for women to get comfortable on the golf course. They created this because they would get invited to scrambles, which, you know, if it's a scramble that has 144 golfers, odds are 143 of them are men. So I think a couple of these ladies got a little sick of seeing that. So they really reached out to the community, and they, like I said, they sell out 30 to 40 golfers every session. And golf was one of the only growth areas during the pandemic. Golf just blew up. So a lot of people took interest in golf. Golf courses for the first time started making money during a pandemic, which is crazy. And so it's been a great program for us. Great for our brand. Women with Drive is a cool brand unto itself. So another, I think, growth area for us, not just on the golf course, but to get girls and young ladies interested in golf. The Oscars, trademark is okay. The Omaha Sports Commission Awards, I kind of mentioned this earlier. This was an idea I had in the bathroom one morning. We took over the Omaha Sports Hall of Fame, which that's how I know probably some Omaha Press Club members who are on my committee for that. Tom Chattel, basically every sports media outlet in town is represented on that board. So the Omaha Sports Hall of Fame had gone a little dormant. They hadn't had an event in about 4 years. They approached us about taking it over and merging with them. So it was an easy yes for me. Just looking at the committee alone, like I said, was all the sports media. We're trying to grow our brand in Omaha, right? I'm sick of more people outside of Nebraska knowing who we are than people within our own city. So this was one of the things that really helped the sports commission gain more notoriety in the community. So we took over the Hall of Fame. So every year we induct a couple Hall of Fame individuals. And a team, and if you guys go to our website and look at the Omaha Sports Hall of Fame, it is amazing the talent and the people that have come from Omaha, Nebraska per capita. It's one of the best in the country. So then on top of the Hall of Fame, we created the Omaha Sports Commission Awards, which is an ESPYs, Oscar-style, high-energy, fun evening where we honor, you know, male athlete, female athlete, coach of the year, team of the year, moment of the year. We have the Dr. Jack Lewis Sports Person Award, which is kind of a lifetime achievement community contribution award that we give every year. And the Steve Pivovar Sports Media Person of the Year that we renamed after Steve in 2019. Great event. It's turned into our annual fundraiser. Last year we had to go virtual, and we are happy to say that we are going to be going in person May 27th. It's always the last Thursday in May, so it's easy to remember. And obviously we'll offer a hybrid model that people can watch and live stream, but it's gonna be a really cool event again. We have the red carpet reception. The kids love it. It's a really cool event where it mixes, you know, the old guard, the old retired athletes with the young high school and college kids that come in. It's a great event, so I would encourage you all to attend if you're interested. Mm-hmm.
Is that high school and college you
said? Yeah, so Omaha, what's that?
Where's the location?
It's always been at the Holland Center. We're actually moving it because of the space restrictions we have this year. We're moving it out to a really cool venue in Elkhorn.
So are they, how are the kids selected?
We have a committee of about 20 people. We select the finalists, and then at the end, when we have the finalists, we should be announcing here pretty soon. And it's combined high school, college, because Omaha is not a huge sports town. We combine all the amateur athletes into one category. online fan vote, which is great for us, Twitter, Facebook, all that fun stuff. And then our committee has the most say. I mean, it's Tom Chattel, it's Ross Jernstrom, Rex, Andy Kendi, all the radio guys. So it's a really cool group to be a part of. We get some heated debates in our nomination meetings too. Actually, tomorrow is when we finalize them all. So it's a lot of fun. And that's kind of that local side that we should be honoring the past, the future, and the present of sport. And that's what a sports commission should be doing. And that's why we're doing this. Yeah, it's like I said, it's a lot of fun. I'll send you all information through your newsletters because I think it's an event that we need to grow attendance to as well. The granddaddy of them all, I'm sure you all might have questions with this one, so please stop me if you do. The Olympic swim trials, we kept it, it's staying here. It looks a little different because we had to split up basically the one wave. This was the original trials dates. We had to split that up into 2 weeks because quite simply we can't have 1,500 swimmers and their coaches and their support systems in the convention center warm-up pool area. So what USA Swimming did was, historically, nobody under the top 40 times per event has ever made the Olympics. So the time cutoff was about that 40th best time. So the wave two, which is the big original trials, you'll have about the top 40 to 45 times in each event, about 700 swimmers. And then the wave one was the rest of those times, still phenomenal, you know, top-notch swimmers. They'll be in the wave one, and the top two from each event in wave one still has a chance to qualify for wave two. So still creating this awesome atmosphere that you all, I'm sure, have been to swim trials before. It's still the biggest swim meet in the world. We just split it into 2 weeks, which that really allowed us to keep some of that economic impact. I tell people that College World Series puts us on the map as a city in the sports world, put us on the map. The swim trials is like our Super Bowl. We don't have it every year, but it's the biggest thing we do in Omaha, just from the pure economic impact and the travelers that come to town during that week. We should be announcing before the end of this month. We know kind of the details, but we're waiting to button some of those up. The new capacity for the arena. Tickets will go on sale. It's a huge production. We've got to refund everybody first, and then kind of reset. We've already reset the house, but as you can imagine, in April of last year, we were 99% sold out. 15 sessions, 8 days, about 14,000 people per session. So that can kind of tell you the numbers we were at that we're working around right now. But the best news is we should be somewhere between 50 and 70% capacity, which is great news for the event. Lost some of that economic impact. We were projecting about $100 million economic impact last year with the full healthy trials, but as you can see, will still be a very healthy event, especially during a pandemic. This is going to be one of the biggest events that's been hosted in the U.S. since all this started. A lot of media people in here, yeah. So I'm sure you guys preaching to the choir how valuable this is from a media value standpoint. Some of these numbers, I'm the guy that's like, how do you put a dollar amount on that? But there's companies that do here, especially here in Omaha. Now we have 12 nights of live television from Omaha, which is great, from 8 to 12. A national, global audience. One of the coolest things to me is when you actually watch the Olympics, it's not, this is how Katie Ledecky did in the trials. This is how she did in Omaha. Omaha is now as synonymous with swimming as Omaha is with college baseball. And that's because we do such a great job and with their trials and really blew this event up. Y'all have been to swim trials before, I take it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Any questions about swim trials? Oops.
When will I get my tickets?
You have tickets? Hold on to your tickets.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. You've probably gotten messages from Ticketmaster or whatever. Yep. Just keep holding on to them. You're not going to lose them. If you want to keep them, they'll still be yours. But we would expect something like the week of March 29th to get that going. Ticketmaster and Mecca's got to do the same thing with the volleyball tournament, and that just, you know, kind of started this week. Capital District Pole Vault, another one of our events that we created. 19 was awesome first year event. We had about 1,200 people down there watching this at the Capital District. If you guys haven't been down there, it's basically a little town square surrounded by businesses, actually more surrounded now than it was in 19. And it creates a perfect little arena. Think like the Phoenix Open 16th hole. They build the stands around a par 3 golf hole. So that's what we do with pole vault. It's a street vault. Really, this is a party with pole vaulting going on, and we have some of the best pole vaulters in the country that come out to it. So
it's like they're trying to pole vault over the building.
Yeah, they basically are. So this little area around here, we sold VIP tickets to like our board members and all that. It was really neat seat. So we had to cancel last year, obviously, but we already have a ton of interest, not just from the national elites, but we created a high school national invite in 19, and we sold out. Not we didn't sell, but we capped out on our athletes. So we're going to create an open division. This doesn't mean that all of us can enter it and pole vault for the first time. This just says
that
there
have a lot of passion.
Yeah. There are pole vaulters that enter these competitions all over the country. So that's what that means. We have a great product through Lindsay's and our Olympic connections. We have, just like with the marathon, we have people that actively go out and get us these elite athletes, which really helps the public come out to see an event. So it's not me and Roger pole vaulting. It's Sam Kendricks right here, who is the Olympic silver medalist from 16 and probably win gold this summer if he's training right at the Olympics. But another really cool event that we own, we operate, and it helps us with that local outreach in the community, because we also do, like I said, with our local outreach, the day before is a pole vault clinic for kids to learn how to pole vault, learn the basics, and they actually learn from these Olympic type level athletes, which is 2 summers ago when we had it for the first year. I was kind of walking around this clinic, and one of the sessions was Sam talking about how to go to college for pole vaulting, and there was a few high school kids and some little kids listening to him. One kid I said, actually from Gothenburg, which is a pole vault capital of Nebraska. You guys know that? Gothenburg, Nebraska. I said, what do you think about this? And he said, this is the greatest day of my life. Like, oh, all right. Well, I think we're doing something right then. Niche sport, you know, it's not a mainstream sport, but neither is swimming, neither is curling, and that's kind of what Omaha specializes in.
Well, how hard is it to get these elite athletes to come to events like this?
It's not too hard, especially if you pay them. You know,
that's kind of where I was going. I had to pay to get them to come here.
Yeah, some of the top levels, and even with this one, I think we offered a pretty small prize. I mean, pole vaulters, curlers, some of these Olympic sports, they're not pro. I mean, they're pro athletes, but they have other jobs.
Sure.
I mean, they're still pole vaulters and swimmers and curlers. I mean, I think there's only one guy, which I'll talk about curling next, on the Olympic gold medal winning team who can afford to only curl, because he has endorsements. The rest of the team all have day jobs. So it's just kind of the Olympic, that's kind of the struggle in the United States. We're the only non-government funded Olympic sports program is United States, which is crazy. So yeah, you offer them a little travel money, a little prize purse. It's nothing huge, but you know, it's definitely it's in the budget. So obviously sponsorships are huge for this event and lots of other events. The Olympic curling trial. So I think you guys see on the forums, at one point we were the only city in the world to ever host 2 Olympic trials in 1 year. Obviously that was a pandemic casualty because for winter and summer games. Now we have 3 with the Paralympic trials, which is an amazing accomplishment for Omaha. We can hang our hat on that. 3 Olympic trials in 1 year. This is kind of the cap on our year of 2021. November 13th through 20th at Baxter Arena, the Olympic curling trials. In my opinion, I think this is kind of when the country's going to be opening up. So I'm really hopeful, not just in a selfish way for the Sports Commission, but for Omaha, that this is kind of the coming out party. Fall, you know, Huskers football, events like this, I think there's going to be a lot of restrictions lifted. We can only hope to attend these events without restrictions. So this is going to be a big one. Obviously, hosting this event for the 18 Olympics and Team Schuster winning in Omaha and then winning Team USA's first ever gold in curling helped the sport blow up. So we already had the largest attended USA curling event ever in the United States. So I think we should double that number, I would imagine, this year, because that number was about 24,000 people over 8 days. I don't think there's any reason why we won't shatter that. But second time host, it was very competitive, you know, because of the success of the team and our event. I mean, we beat some pretty big tier one cities when we bid on this for the right to host again. We got the men and women over 8 days, and tickets should go on sale sometime this summer. One cool program we did in 18 was every we built these corporate boxes that some of the local corporations came out and had team building days. They could learn how to curl in the ice next door. Curling is all about socializing and drinking beer, to be honest. A lot of Omahans love that, but it's a great idea for corporate outings, and we sold out those boxes, so that'll tell you something. So yeah, I didn't mention the U.S. Senior Open, not our event. They're using our volunteers. We talk with David Fox and those guys quite often, but I should have put a slide in there for them. I feel bad I didn't. But another great event for Omaha. I mean, talk about the calendar events we have this year. Amazing, especially coming off the pandemic. But I know they're talking about finalizing their ticket numbers and capacity numbers per day, and I would imagine that should be announced pretty soon, because that event is July 5th through the 11th at Omaha Country Club. Questions? Any questions?
What do you see coming up? I mean, I assume that you look at all of the things that are going on in the United mm-hmm. States or whatever, and you see maybe we could do this, maybe we could do this, maybe we could do that. What do you see down the road that you might also be able to get?
Yeah, no, great question. We're always looking. I mean, our business, our industry, you know, we know what we're going to host 2, 3, 4 years in advance. The pandemic has changed that a little bit when it comes to strategizing, because there are events happening in 6 months from now that can be had. For us, it's about, is it a good fit for Omaha? I mean, in October and November of 2020, these kind of were under the radar, but we relocated USA BMX Nationals out of Kansas City, Missouri, to Omaha in October of 2020 in about 6 weeks turnaround time. 800 BMX riders from 37 states, and that was here in October. USA Wrestling U23 Nationals, which is basically all the college teams and elite wrestlers for around the country. We moved their event from Cleveland to Omaha in November in about 8 weeks turnaround time. And that was, we were expecting 800 wrestlers. We had 1,300 wrestlers and 500 coaches, because none of them had competed the entire year, and they saw this as a chance to actually travel and wrestle against other top-notch communities. So I say all that because the pandemic's kind of changed things. We always say in our industry, sports is recession-proof, which it is. My position in Mesa was created in 2009 because we were in the middle of a recession, and sports and sports tourism and sports travel was skyrocketing when everything else was tanking. Sports is recession-proof, but it's not really pandemic-proof, which we've learned. So for us, it's all about a fit in Omaha. I mean, we know we can get a lot of events, but is it really going to, you know, we can't go broke going after some of these events. So yeah, I mean, we're bidding on 2024 swim trials. We're bidding on events as far out as 2026. To answer your question, I kind of rambled there.
Are you working with the, I just saw a poster someplace for the National High School Rodeo.
It's in Lincoln, Lancaster Center, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think they got that event, which was a great get for Nebraska, because that thing's been in Casper, Wyoming, I think, forever. But that's a good point, too. We actually created a state coalition called Sports Nebraska, where we actually have 12 member cities, Omaha being one of them, that we kind of market and work together as a state. Because if Omaha can't host or Lincoln can't host, you know, we'd rather have it stay in Kearney or stay in Nebraska than leave the state. So we get a little grant money from the state tourism office and hopefully some state legislation that helps, because it's all about competition. I see what we compete against, and Nebraska's a little behind financially and venue wise.
I assume that you're working closely with hotels as far as protocols and, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's one nice thing about, so most sports commissions fall under the CVB, which would be three floors down, Visit Omaha. We are one of the only standing independent nonprofit sports commissions in the country, which the nice thing about that is I don't have to worry about doing our own hotels. So Mark Rath and his team down at Visit Omaha, they're in this building, they do all of our hoteling. But yes, when it comes to COVID-19 and all the protocols, hotels are very important. I mean, for NAI basketball, we had all 12 schools staying at the Doubletree. I don't know where we are. Yeah. but, you know, gone are the days we can pack 4 kids in one room. I mean, the NAI, the NCAA, they're mandating 1 kid per room, which is good for hotel room night production, but it can eat up rooms pretty quickly.
Sure.
I mean, the the logistics of moving swim trials 1 year out was a miracle, because that thing is planned 4 years in advance, and we had to move a lot of stuff around with Mecca and hotels to make that event happen.
Talk about bidding, and there's the thing you mentioned, looking ahead to the next swim trials.
Mm-hmm.
How's that thin line between being doing a good job? How many times do we still have competition for the swim trials down the road?
Major competition. Can't say a lot right now. I remember I'm on the radio too. But yeah, it's the most competitive bid cycle we've ever had. I think we should know here in the next, by the end of this year, I think if we're awarded that event again. But you'd like to think, because of our history and we made that event what it is with USA Swimming's vision too, that, you know, we keep it forever. But it's tough competition.
The last question is College World Series. We'll never lose.
You all remember that, yeah.
Yes, we could.
When I was in Mesa, we had to pay $99 million to build the Cubs brand new complex because they were going to bounce out of town, and they have been in Mesa for 50 years. So it's unfortunate, but it's also part of the game. I mean, it's my industry, so I am biased, but it's if the communities that invest, they see the return.
What's your best talking point about why an event should consider Omaha? I mean, we don't have mountains, we don't have lakes, we don't have all those things. But what do you tell them?
It's the chamber and CVB talk. I mean, we're in the center of the country. Our airport access to downtown is the best in the country. So if you want to fly in, go to the arena, you got all these hotels down here, new hotels opening in a pandemic, which is unheard of. It's all that stuff. It's good rates, easy to get in and out of, middle of the country. And for me, and I'm not from here, I'm from Phoenix, Arizona area, Omaha shows up. Omaha shows out every event. It helps us that we're not a tier one professional sports town. I don't think those kind of teams would work here, but we have now spun that to being one of the top amateur sports capitals in the country. So that's my pitch, is your event is not going to work here. It's going to work very well in Omaha, because if your athletes and your attendees and your parents and coaches aren't buying tickets, people of Omaha will come out and watch. So that's a huge draw. I talked about our volunteer base. I mean, we have 900 volunteers for swim trials alone. I mean, they don't just show up and buy tickets. They show up to help and run events.
You talk about the airport and the proximity to downtown. One of my personal frustrations is that if you fly into Omaha or anybody comes in for Berkshire or whatever, mm-hmm. there's no public transportation from the airport to downtown. So either the hotel shuttles or do you sometimes provide?
Yeah, it depends on the event, but we get in the transportation game. A lot of these big events, especially with elite athletes, they expect to be picked up and transported. We hosted the Curling World Cup in 2018, and that was international federations do things a lot different than USOPC here. So they expect a lot more red carpet service. But to your point, that's also a selling point. It's like, hey, we don't have to coordinate all this transportation. Just rent your car right there at the airport and come around. But there's a lot of times we have to coordinate that, and it would be nice. If we were bidding on a World Cup, we'd be out in the first round, because all those cities have to have public light rail train type systems, and it'd be nice if Omaha got there one day, but we're not there yet.
Lobbying city council and metro to provide some.
If they asked me to, I would. I lobby for enough stuff already, sports complex wise. But yeah, I mean, it's all that helps the city. I mean, we stopped fundraising through COVID because obviously we weren't Health and Human Services. But I tell people, if we're doing well, that means Omaha's doing well. So that's kind of and vice versa. I mean, if without a top-notch transportation system, some of these bids might dry up. I don't think that will happen, but it's definitely factors in the bids. There's always a transportation section that we can make prettier than it really is.
Do all the major cities have their own sports commissions?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I think that's kind of what's helped me and Lindsay and some others come in and helped our reputation, is like we've seen what we compete against. There's probably 200 or 300 of me. Yeah, so I mean, it's not huge, our sector of sports industry is kind of small. It's a small world. But yeah, it's most sports commissions, like I said, are funded by bed tax. So it's, you know, it's our team under a CVB umbrella. So it's very competitive. And that's, you know, that's why I get involved in all these sports complex projects, because it's like we need it, not just for events on the weekend business, but there's not enough green grass in this field for our kids to play on nightly. And that's another selling point, is people don't realize how big Omaha is. I think it's like the world's biggest small town, but we're almost 1 million people. I think by 24, the metro is 1 million people. So that helps, just educating event owners and organizers that this is a big city. We're going to treat your event right.
And they're building more different types of sports complexes.
It's an arms race. It's an arms race around the country.
Fascinating. What even what you're doing here.
Mm-hmm. We're good on indoor venues. When we got four arenas, all four different sizes, which is unbelievable for a city our size. It's the outdoor field space is where we lose out in quite a few events.
Can you share with us what other kinds of events you're bidding on right now, or is that something you can't go to divulge?
No, yeah, a lot of NAI nationals we have our eye on. We'd like to get some of their softball World Series is an event that we really would like to get. That's open in 24. You know, if for some reason swim trials doesn't happen, there's some other major Olympic trials that would work well here too. We're sure hoping we keep swim trials forever. But yeah, we have to always have our eye out. NCAA bids, like I said, they bid out 4 years at a time, every 4 years. So we're pretty much locked up there because they just announced through 2027. But yeah, we creating our own events, mergers and acquisitions, I think is a great part of our future. Just with helping local organizers and local groups grow their events. Always bidding, always looking.
Well, do you get, I mean, because of how well you guys have done with the events you do host, do you get those calls where somebody, an event calls and says, hey, we want you to bid on this?
Oh, yeah, yeah, all the time. Yeah. That's great. We say no more than we say yes, and that's either time constraints, not a good fit, you know, type events, but it's, yeah, it's a huge industry. People don't realize. I mean, for every NCAA Division I volleyball tournament, there's 100 youth volleyball tournaments on the same weekend. It's a $16 billion annual industry in the United States, youth and amateur sports. And that's not counting the Super Bowls and the All-Star games and things like that. That's a whole nother category.
Since we lost some NCAA basketball, did they take that into consideration down the road when you're giving us some?
I think they did. We got one back 2020. Well, we have volleyball again next year, and I think we have 2023 opening rounds. I should have that on my notes, but
didn't get a regional again, though.
Didn't get a regional. Unfortunately, you know, there's 2 years of cities that lost out all those first, because counting this year, I mean, there was a lot of cities that lost their events when the whole thing went to Indiana, which is not good for those cities, because opening rounds for a city like Omaha is akin to like the Final Four for some of the big metros. I would imagine the NCAA weighed that in when they awarded all the events this last go around. And like I said, they're all locked into 2027. We'll be bidding on 28 or 27 to 31. Those bids are all probably due in 22 or 23. Yeah, it's a big outlook.
In drawing people to events here is not having some of the many, many things that much bigger cities have. Is that a consideration for these events? Do they take a look and say, hey, there's not a lot going on?
I can focus on our event and go win. Yeah, I think it is. I mean, it's, again, I speak for my industry. Omaha is a great city. I mean, the zoo, and all, we have some good attractions, but the mousetrap for tourism in Omaha is events. I use Deb Ward, who's the head of the Visit Omaha. I use this stat a lot. Most big cities, tourism, the visitor draw is about 10 to 15% event related, which is conventions, meetings, sporting events, concerts. Omaha, it's closer to 40. So that's like, we really noticed that, right, in 2020 when restaurants and hotels and all these businesses were struggling, because 2020 was awful, but I think in hindsight it really helped cities like Omaha realize, like, oh, crap, sports and conventions and meetings. It's big business, and we really felt that. So, and now on the flip side, we're one of the first cities welcoming everything back. So we're turning around quicker, and sports and events are kind of the catalyst for the economic rebound.
And we do have the zoo.
And the zoo. I threw the zoo in there. The zoo is amazing. I'm a member.
Yeah.
And it was known for its music venues.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
And great restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Yep, food. I should have mentioned that in your question. Great food here. I mean, it's some of the best restaurants. I tell friends back home, it's like Omaha's the per capita capital of the country. Most restaurants, most bars, most sporting events, most millionaires. It's like, it's crazy. This little self-sustaining ecosystem here, which event owners and governing bodies love. I mean, it's Omaha speaks for itself, which is why I'm here. Easy to get to.
And the fact that the people come out.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You mentioned as far as with the airports, do you find that, or is it a disadvantage not to, for Omaha not to be on top? Or to get to Omaha,
yeah.
You have to transfer, different locations?
I find it frustrating because I travel a lot, but I don't think it matters. Especially because the other hubs are so close, Denver, Chicago. I mean, once you get there from anywhere, we're international, but I think that's because we have Canadian flights. I think that's the biggest thing is some of the lack of international travel. But yeah, I don't think it's not a worry at all. Just another hop, skip, and a jump from three major hubs, really, because Minneapolis is super close. I don't think it's an issue at all.
You said that outdoor spaces where probably do better fitting indoor. What kinds of things should we have in order to be better equipped to host outdoors?
Yeah, my opinion, but I think I share this opinion with a lot of youth and sport organizers in the metro, is we don't have artificial turf. In this part of the country, you have to have multi-fields. I'm talking 12 to 16 fields in one location that are ready to play. If it storms, ready to go the next day. And that's where our competition all has it. And, you know, we tout ourselves as this great amateur sports town, but we could be a lot better if we had some of these. And Omaha's big enough to have two of those things. And I think we're close. I think some of our efforts, not just sports commissions, but, you know, statewide, like showing how far we're falling behind some of these other metros. I mean, the amount of money that leaves Omaha every single weekend from the soccer clubs, the softball clubs, that could be staying here and hosting their own tournaments is insane.
So do you see this as possible, that it's going to happen?
A lot of it's political, but if I wasn't on the radio, I'd give you guys a lot more information.
It's time to get back to y'all.
maybe prime rib at the bar tonight. Bar time. But yeah, I'm pretty confident. We've got some senators on the state level who are very interested in this. The state tourism office has been awesome for us, but it really took some of our, you know, Lincoln's very active in the sports world. Kearney, North Platte, I mean, they have their own little sports commissions, and they have to, because you're going to fall behind if you're not going after these events or creating your own events. And the way it's structured, you know, in the state level, obviously Omaha, it's half the population of the state, so what's good for Omaha is different for some of those other cities. Like, if we want to do 12 fields, that's probably equal to like 4 fields in Hastings or something. So yeah, it's we need them. And like I said, this is not just to go after events. Ask any local league or club in town. Tranquility Park, one good rain, it's shut down. And it's unfortunate because there's not enough room. I have a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old daughters, and they both play sports, and it's like it's tough to find fields, which is the sign of a big metro. So it's not like doom and gloom, but if we really want to keep up and keep our reputation, we need fields. So when you see that, you know, knocking on your door, support it if you like that kind of stuff. Nice. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to Weekend Forum, a production of KIOS News. Today's presentation by Josh Todd, President and Executive Director of the Omaha Sports Commission, was produced in cooperation with the Omaha Press Club and was recorded at their March 18th Noon Education Forum. This episode was produced by Joshua LeBure with assistance from Todd Hatton. You can hear this episode again at our website, kios.org, and you can find more information about the Omaha Press Club's Noon Education Forums at omahapressclub.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for the next Weekend Forum.